Have you ever been preaching a sermon, looked up at the clock, and gulped because you're out of time? The habit of running out of time when preaching a sermon can usually be resolved by establishing early on in the sermon preparation process the subject, response, and how-to. That's our key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. We welcome you. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, can you identify at all with a common preacher problem of running out of time when preaching?
I think anybody can identify who's been in a preaching situation. A lot of my sermons, there wasn't any choice because on radio you had 12 minutes and 15 seconds. You had longer than that for the program, but you had the opening and the announcements and so on. So the actual preaching time was 12 minutes and a quarter, and that's the time you had, and if you didn't get it said, you just were in trouble. That's not quite as tight when you're in a church. I don't think that the time is the same now that it was when I started. I mean, you could preach 20, 30, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and nobody complained, whereas now if you would speak that long, I mean, you get a very strong reaction to it. I hear a lot of sermons, and I get the feeling that the minister worked hard on the subject, the first point, the second point maybe, and then by the third point, the preparation was running out, and he was kind of glad because he could always say, you know, I'm running out of time, we'll have to cover this another time. That's not uncommon, really. In fact, it's interesting. I heard somebody the other day was preaching, and when it got into about 35 minutes, he said, I noticed my wife got up from the back pew, and she's walked to the back, and she's going, and he motioned across his throat, you know, it's time to cut, it's time to cut. So I'll have to pull this to a close, and then he still talked another 10 minutes. I thought, well, there wasn't a whole lot of thought as to how much time do I have, when do I want to finish. Usually, because of confusion about what you really are wanting to preach is when you run into trouble as far as the actual timing part. And I think the person who doesn't start very early on, and I'm talking very early on in the sermon preparation process, whether you start 2 weeks ahead or you start a week ahead, maybe you start on Monday. On Monday for the following Sunday, you have to say, what is my subject? This is what I'm talking about. So I know exactly what my subject is. What is the response that I'm wanting to get from the people who are listening? What are the how-tos I'm going to have to share? And so all that is very clearly spelled out. If I don't cover that, I've lost out in terms of what I'm saying. If you don't start that way and you just start saying, how do I put these different pieces together and string them out? And I got a kind of a general outline, point one, point two, point three. You'll probably find that you don't have enough time in today's world because most people, you know, once you talk 20, 25 minutes, they're not going to stick around a whole lot with their attention. They may smile, they may keep their eyes open, whatever, and if you're an exceptional speaker, you may make it. But once you hit 30, 35, 40 minutes, you're going to be not only that guy's wife saying, cut it, but if you ask the people, I don't care how interesting you are, have you heard enough? They'll say, you know, I came and it's time for me to leave now. I still don't know what it is you're really trying to say. So timing is a very important thing. And my feeling is that has to reflect itself way back at the beginning of your preparation. What is I really want to say? Because I think that a lot of times, again, and we've said this before, ministers are putting together thoughts and they don't have the big thought. What is the key thing I'm trying to say? What is the subject I'm talking about? What is the response that I'm calling for? If you don't know the answer to that, you know, you don't know how you want to spend your time.
How would you suggest that they resolve this matter of time, or maybe more specifically and personally, how did you resolve this matter?
I still, you know, I have almost a visceral response to think of some of the times when I went 30, 35, 40 minutes, and the guy in charge of the conference grounds or whatever said, you throw the whole food preparation group off because they're ready to serve people at noon and you're still talking. Every minister has those times when he thinks he's God's gift to the whole world with the wonderful things they're saying, and then all of a sudden you realize that people are more interested in the food that's to be served, or they're more interested in getting out on time so they can hear the kickoff off of the game that started at noon. When you ask me, I was not the grand champion of resolving this issue, and I don't want to sound that way. I am now. I'm extremely conscious of time, and I find it very satisfying to me if I speak shorter rather than longer than what people expect. I've never found a problem when people said, you didn't go long enough. We don't like that. They're not going to complain. They're going to be kind of glad that you didn't talk real long. Again, I'm going back to the whole of what we've taught time and again, early, early on. And I'm talking if you take a week to prepare Monday, and if you start out a couple weeks at a time, 2 weeks ahead on the Monday, what is my subject? And it has to be very clear. This is what I'm talking about. So you know in your head. Anything that doesn't contribute to that subject, that's not what I want now. This is my subject. On top of that, secondly, what is the response that I'm calling for from the people? That's an area where ministers don't like that because they're not used to calling for a response. But here's why I'm talking about the subject, because this is how I want people to respond. Then the next question is, do they know how to do that? And if they don't know how to do that, you have to give some practical application. I've heard many times ministers will say, as a practical application, and then they'll give another illustration. That is not practical application. Basically, practical application is saying, let me tell you how to do this. I'm going to say that you don't know how to do it because you've not been practicing it. Here are suggestions I would give as to how you can do that. So how do I fit all that in? So once you know your subject, you know the response you're calling for, and you know the practical steps of the how-to, those are clearly in your mind. You can begin to say, okay, now how do I want to allocate the time that I've been given? Whether it's 12 and a quarter minutes, or whether it's 25 minutes, or whether, you know, they've asked me because I'm in a conference to speak a little longer. All right, fine, then I have more time. But again, I will always use that time and more if I don't know clearly what the subject is, what the response is that I want. I mean, it just takes longer to say things than you normally expect. So that's how I solved it. And if I say, well, that illustration is not really on target, even though it's a good illustration, I won't use it. I'll save it for another time. Because what I need to do is talk about my subject, get into that so people are identifying with it. If it starts with a text, then what's the subject of the text? And then after the subject, what is the response it's calling for, and so on. If you examine the sermons that I put together, they always have those in them pretty clearly. And then the how-tos and so on.
One of the things that pastors have to fully understand is that in our culture today, people are conditioned for certain amounts of time in the presentations that they hear. So having a very consciousness of time is important. Now, in using the sermon coach method, one of the questions we get a lot is, where do I as a pastor, I've been to seminary, I've sat in homiletics class, the foundation of my homiletics class was the 3-point sermon. Where does that fit into what you're talking about? In other words, David Maines, do you preach 3-point sermons?
I haven't preached a 3-point sermon for a long time, which may be all the reason to say that's why 3-point sermons are so great, you know, because Maines doesn't do it. I preach a 1-point sermon. When you say, what is my subject? What's the response? That's 1 point. I want to get to the subject. I want to talk about the subject. Usually the subject will come out of the text. So I'm usually starting with a text. So this is what the subject of the text is. This is the response it's calling for. I can very clearly show that from the scriptures, but I don't have 3 points. And a lot of times the 3-point sermons that I hear, I still don't know what the subject is. So they got the 3 points, or the subject is mentioned, but it's never talked about. So people don't connect those in their mind. And most of the sermons I hear, I don't also get a response. They talked a lot of things, but now how do you want me to deal with that? What are you asking me to do? I have no idea. That's just how I am. So I start, what's the subject? If it comes out of the text, which usually that's where I begin, what is the subject of the text? What is the response? And that's a 1-point sermon. And usually, in terms of my preaching, it's not a long time. It's just a different world. It's a whole different world than what it used to be. I don't think 3-point sermons, I don't think they're any more biblical than a 1-point sermon. I don't think we're talking biblical things. Jesus never preached a sermon that was 3 points. Jesus didn't even ever have a text for the most part. If you figure out how he was preaching, he told stories. That was his basic means of communication, was storytelling. He did preach sermons, but he never said, I'm going to do a 6-point series on Isaiah. You know, that's just not what Jesus was. He had to keep the attention of these people on the hillside. He usually spoke outdoors. He sometimes spoke in synagogues, got in trouble in those situations. But he was preaching outside. And I mean, these people were milling all around. And somehow he was able to hold their attention. And I think he found that stories did that very well. He didn't do what I do. He didn't say, okay, what's the response I want? Sometimes you could get the response, like in his Sermon on the Mount. When it was all done, he said, if you hear my words and obey them, this is what I want. Hear my words. If you obey them, you'll be like the person who built his house on the rock. If you hear all these words you've heard today and you don't obey it, you're going to wash out like the guy who built his house on the sand. That's his response. Hear and obey. So it's pretty clear what he was saying. But again, did he use 1 point or 3 point? I would not say he was a 1 point preacher in the Sermon on the Mount. He had all kinds of points. They went all over in different directions, but he knew what he was saying. Hear me and obey me. It's very hard sometimes to not think that what you're saying is gospel truth. I don't think that is, but I think in today's world, what I'm saying has value is figure out what your subject is, because people, that's just what they're going to need. And probably, if anything, for me, Jesus is saying, use more stories, because that's how people are learning. You talk about the stories, then the commercials, then the story again, then the story. Those stories have truths in them that they're teaching, and a lot of them are truths that are lies. Maybe we need to recapture storytelling more, but as far as the sermonizing, where you're talking basically to people who believe as you do, I think 1 point is more than enough for today, and that's the end of my 1 point tirade.
I could make a case that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount's 1 point was, if you're to be my disciple, this is what you're to do, and all of the rest of the Sermon on the Mount are how-tos.
In some ways, that's true. Not totally, because he gave things that were very hard, and people weren't always sure how to do them, but maybe they did know how to do them, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely very hard.
They're hard,
yeah. We will agree with that.
Yeah, they're kind of like swallowing a ping pong ball.
Is there ever a problem in ending a sermon too soon?
Well, if you're talking about doing it in 1 or 2 minutes, that would probably be too soon. If you're talking about an ending in 10, 15 minutes, I doubt it. I think people would say, I got what you were saying. It was very clear to me. I know what you want by way of response, and I either have to do it or not. So thank you. You made it quite clear. I don't think so. I think that if you preach 5-minute sermons week after week, you may get a problem with the pulpit committee saying, what are you using your time for all week? But that hasn't happened very often.
Yeah, that hasn't happened very often at all. The habit of running out of time when preaching a sermon can usually be resolved by establishing early on in the sermon preparation process the subject, response, and how-to. Thank you for joining us for this time together. You found our SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We hope you'll browse through the rest of our website. We have lots of resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.